Ladies and gentlemen, the class of 1971.
Next on the Wonder Years.
I graduate tonight, you know.
Let's not make a bigger deal out of this than it is.
Surprise!
Do I get one this year?
Next year we get our driver's licenses, huh?
Oh my gosh. Help!
Free at last. Free at last.
Sometimes I wonder if the good times are really all gone.
I'm God Almighty. Free at last.
And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey there, Wonderlings. Angela Bowen here, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. Well, guys, we made it. We made it to the season 4 finale. Season 4, episode 22, Graduation, which aired on May 8th, 1991. On the eve of his graduation from junior high, Kevin is excited about entering high school next year with Winnie and Paul. However, those feelings change when Paul announces that he will be attending a prep school next year. Kevin begins to fear that his world will change after graduation. Well, yeah, it probably will, Kevin. And because Paul is exiting, you're not going to see a lot of him during season 5. You will, however, see a few bumbling goofballs that are going to take Paul's place in Kevin's circle of friends. Yeah. Guys, remember how I said that the graduation episode, in my eyes, is the season finale of season 4? It is, because season 4, episode 23, is the Wonder Years, the clip show, showcasing clips from all 4 seasons, and I went over that episode, guys. It's nothing but clips. There's nothing prominent about that episode. Other than that, I think what I'm going to do is I will start season 5 in April. Now, the first 2 episodes entitled The Lake and Day 1. You can find both of those episodes. The Lake is going to be in the summer episode of, it's the last of the 3 episode podcasts that was summer's, How I'm Spending My Summer Vacation Season 3. Oh my goodness, guys, I'm sorry. I just caught up like a few minutes ago. Season 2's finale, How I'm Spending My Summer Vacation, Season 3's season opener, Summer Song, and then Season 5's opener, The Lake. Those are all together in one podcast episode, so you can enjoy that. And then Day 1 is going to be in the Back to School edition, which I believe that's the last one, because you get Season 3 math class, Season 4 ninth grade man, and then you get Day 1 is the last one. So you guys have 3 episodes in each to listen to get to those, or you can listen to the other 2, however you want to do it. But after the, I think with season 5, the next episode, the hardware store one is going to go in the jobs edition that I'm going to be doing this summer. So the first episode we'll be doing of season 5 is going to be Frank and Denise. That episode aired, well, I'm not going to get into that until we get into that, but that episode is pretty much with Denise and Frank seem made for each other until Denise turns her eye to Kevin because he understands poetry. Although she breaks up with Frank and kisses Kevin, Kev thinks it would be better if she went back to Frank because they are a perfect match. So, yeah, some of the episodes in season 5, I'm not gonna lie, they're gonna be kind of meh. Oh, there's some interesting ones, though, here. You know, we got the hardware store coming. That's in the jobs episode. Full Moon Rising is kind of goofy. where Kevin's buddy gets his driver's license. Triangle's going to be an interesting one because some girl who's dating Wayne has got eyes for Kevin. So she wants a brother sandwich, I guess. Soccer is going to be in the sports edition. We have Dinner Out. That's where Karen comes back. Christmas Party, that one's already done. You guys, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, know that I did that back during the Christmas time. Road Test, Grandpa's Car, Private Butthead, that's a Wayne episode. Some of these other ones, this Lunch Stories, no thank you. But I'll be doing it because, well, I'll be doing it. Alright guys, let's jump into this episode, shall we? You heard me ramble enough. Alright, here's the quote. Adult Kevin, 1971 was a big year. Hot pants were invented. Denny McLean lost 22 games for the Washington Senators. Ugh, that's gotta suck. And I graduated from junior high school. But we'll get to that. In the 3 years since I'd entered seventh grade, a lot of things had changed. Still, in the suburbs where I lived, the currency of lawn remained about the same. The currency of life remained the same. The whir of lawnmowers, the cries of hide-and-seek, the dreams of parents, the struggles of children. Very well put, Kevin. Very well put. Oh, and real quickly, Jeremy told me last night that Stephen Hawking passed away. He was only 76 years old, which is surprising because I thought he looked much older. Although, you know, appearances can be deceiving. That's sad, though. I mean, I thought he would have lived a bit longer, but yeah, my condolences to Stephen Hawking's children and everyone that's been affected by his death. May he rest in peace. Whatever he believed in. Wow, Kevin upgraded from a kid bike to a 10-speed. Wow. My sister had a 10-speed. I tried to ride it a couple times. But I always had to, like, try to prop myself up on it from the porch because the seat was a little high up. Yeah, that's just an accident waiting to happen. So Kevin turns into his driveway, and there are no cars there, so I'm guessing, did they start using that garage to park their cars? I don't think they did. That garage is full of, like, junk and whatnot. That roof really seriously needs to be redone. It's really bad looking. So Kevin's grabbed himself a soda out of the fridge and everything, popped the top, and at the kitchen table, Wayne is, he's doing like ACT or SAT prep or something like that, and Norma's kind of practically feeding him the answers, because he's just not even putting any effort into it. He's like, I don't know, I'll do B. Norma's like, I think it's C. And he's like, oh, yeah, right, C, that's why I put, like, no, Wayne, take this fucking seriously, really? You don't want to be loafing off your parents when you're 25 years old? Come on now, living in their damn basement like a fucking weirdo. So Wayne just answers one more question, closes the booklet, and he's like, alright, I'm done, can we eat now? And Norma's like, Wayne, it's like, son, take this seriously. Then Jack comes in the door, and oh, he has had a rough fucking day. He chucks that fucking briefcase across the kitchen, like, fuck it, boom. But Norma's there to, you know, make him feel better. Like, here, let me fix you a drink. I know life sucks when you got a shitty job. And that's when Norma says that the contractor stopped by to talk about the foundation. Okay, so they did hire a professional to kind of look at things. And Jack, of course, he's drinking his vodka tonic or whatever the hell he's drinking. And he's like, you know, I don't want to talk about this right now. It's like, Norma, he just sat down, okay? That vodka tonic thing has not even settled in his stomach. And just wait an hour or so. Well, oh, that'll be dinner time. Man, I don't think there's any good time to talk about people fixing your house. Especially if Jack's not doing it, he doesn't want to hear about professionals coming in and taking care of his house. So, Norma just keeps talking like, oh, the contractor didn't think it'd be so bad. And Jack just takes another sip and he's like, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, Norma, please, just let him be for a bit. Do the contractors need an answer today, right this second? So, Norma just is like, you know what, how about I get dinner ready? And Kevin, you know, was like, yeah, Mom, that sounds like a great idea. And Kevin sits down and everything, and it's just the light filtering in through that door by the stove. It almost looks more like it's breakfast time. It doesn't look like it's dinner time, because you think that there'd be, like, if the sun were slowly setting, or even the sun were really in the sky, that there'd be, like, more of a darker hue, maybe? Alright, guys, I want to play this exchange between the family here with the opening. Just, I think it's just hilarious, and just everyday life. I feel bad for Jack. So I'll play the clip, I'll be right back.
The grinding of very small minds.
B.
Honey, I think maybe it's C.
That's what I said. C.
After a decade of hiding out in the cracks of the public school system, my brother was facing the hard choices.
Come on now, try another one.
That would be,
Not that he wasn't going down without a fight.
Hey, can we eat now?
Wayne?
My mother, on the other hand, was standing guard between the rock...
Welcome home, honey.
...and the hard place.
Here's your drink.
See, my father had all but abandoned the concept of communication as we know it.
Jack, the contractor stopped by today. About the foundation?
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, he didn't seem to think it would be too bad. Just a matter of repouring a few walls.
I don't want to talk about it.
My guess was the old man didn't want to talk about it.
Well then, shall we have dinner?
Good idea, Mom.
Good. Have a seat.
And there you had it. In the great scheme of Arnold family life, things were moving on. For some of us, anyway.
Hi.
All right, now we're moving to the school auditorium with DePerna addressing the graduating class. You know, the good thing about this is we don't have to see DePerna's fucking face ever again after this episode. Thank you. Oh, that guy was an asshole. I'm ready to be done with him. So as he's addressing the students, faculty, and family, and friends, or whatever the hell, someone has the nerve to, like, eat it. And of course, DePerna stops what he's doing, and he calls out to the audience, who said that? Like, yeah, they're really gonna answer you, you dumb. Come on. Alright, I'm not saying he's as bad as, say, the principal in the Breakfast Club. That guy was a fucking monster. Principal Vernon. DePerna's not like him, but he's a fucking toughie. Holy. But I want to play this clip because it's kind of funny.
Students, parents, faculty, and friends, welcome.
Eat it. Who said that?
The final week of junior high school kind of brought a lump to the old throat.
Shh, come on, guys. This is serious.
All right,
yeah, come on. The vice-chair's got to make a speech.
After my opening remarks, what will happen? When your names are called, you'll walk up the right-hand aisle to collect your diplomas.
Yes?
Do I get one this year?
I fail to see the humor in that, Mr. Barbella.
Just checking.
I don't get it. This is a major moment
right,
in our lives. Isn't anyone aware of that?
But if Paul was looking for allies, he was in the wrong camp.
Get off his wiper.
Yeah, come on, Paul, lighten up. It's just a stupid graduation.
To you, maybe. Not to me.
Paul, what's the big deal? I mean, we're going to see all these people next year in high school, right?
Hey, the whole thing seemed pretty clear to me. It was time to move on. Time to bid goodbye to old times.
What's it, Kevin?
Old nightmares.
What did I ever do to you? As if I had to tell you.
So someone's doing a fake fart or blowing a raspberry or whatever the heck. It's like, yeah, Daperna, you really think these kids are going to take this seriously? Come on. The only one taking it seriously is Paul. And no one apparently shares his enthusiasm. Oh, okay, so we get Kevin, Paul, Randy, and Doug. That's the crew there. That's their buddies, Randy and Doug. Been with them for the last, like, since season 3. Or is it? Yeah, Doug was pretty prominent in season 3. Not so much season 2, but anyway. Turns out Paul's got to give a speech. Commencement speech, pretty much. And, you know, Paul's paying attention. He's like, guys, come on, take it seriously. And Kevin's like, well, come on, Paul, it's just a stupid graduation. It doesn't mean anything. He's like, well, maybe not to you. Like, that's an honor to be picked to be able to do the commencement speech. That's amazing. I mean, Paul's probably been, he's been building towards that since starting 7th grade, I'm sure. These kids don't care. You're not going to get any sympathy from them, Paul. I mean, my 8th grade, I didn't have a graduation. Not until I graduated high school. And I just remember the end of 8th grade, we had an 8th grade, like, end of the year dance, and I did go to it. But, and I remember, I think towards the end of the dance, they played, I think it's by Boys to Men. It's called The End of the Road. And it just kind of hit me like, yeah, this is kind of it. It's like ending one chapter of my life and then moving forward to another chapter. And I just remember talking to a counselor about it. And she's like, well, how do you feel about going into high school next year? And I'm like, I think it's just going to be a lot of the same crap that, you know, with the teasing. And I just, I wasn't looking forward to it. I'm like, it's going to be a lot of the same shit. And, well, it kind of was. It almost escalated a little bit. But, junior high, it just, my school years, it's just not great. And yes, I know, but we'll get to that down the road in other episodes, depending on the subject matter and everything. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I ended 8th grade, went home, and probably hung out on the couch and watched Tiny Toons and Animaniacs while I ate Gardettos. I was eating Gardettos even back then, guys. Blame my dad for that addiction. He's the one who got me hooked on those things when I was in 3rd grade. And I always, eat the rye chips and the pretzels. And then we'll leave basically what's over. So it's basically one bag of Gardettos for 2 people. Well, being this is a graduation episode, I can kind of talk a smidge about, you know, my graduation from high school since it kind of fits. We're not going to see Kevin's graduation on the show. Not his graduation from high school, but pretty much this. So we can treat this as a graduation. Gosh, I remember having to do the practice run where we had to go down a little hill to the football field, and whether it was the principal or the assistant principal was like, all right, all of you get in alphabetical order. And then we're just kind of standing around a little bit trying to, and he's like, oh my god, are you kidding me? You can't even get file in alphabetical order. It's a guy that was a real dick, a real asshole. I don't know. I didn't like him. I didn't really get called to the principal's office. Hardly at all, except for, a couple times. Not good, yeah. I skipped a bit when I got my license. I drove most of my junior year, and then, of course, for the first half of my senior year, I had to take the bus. Until I got a job in the spring, and I got to drive to school again, so that was pretty nice. So this Balboa guy, this raises his hand. DiPerna calls on him. He's like, hey, do I get one this year? Oh, his name is Barbella. And DiPerna's like, yeah, I feel able to see the humor in that, Mr. Barbella. It's like, yeah, you're not getting one. Why even bother to ask unless you're just getting... I mean, everyone laughs when the kid asks it. I mean, the guy's, what, 21 years old and still in junior high? I guess they didn't have that No Child Left Behind thing yet. So like I said, Paul is like, I can't believe you guys don't understand what a big deal this is. And even Doug is like, get over it, Pfeiffer. Which, that's kind of smart coming from Doug, because Doug, in my mind, has always kind of been the Ralph Wiggum of of the group there. And Kevin's like, I don't understand why you're making a big deal out of this. You know, we're going to see all these kids in high school anyway. It's like, this is a big deal for Paul. Let him have his moment. Granted, you may not share in his enthusiasm, but at least be semi-supportive, maybe? Okay, Kevin's in the hall now. He's got his books on him. And Becky, just walking along, shoulder checks him, turns and's like, watch where you're going, Kevin. And he's like, what did I ever do to you? And she's like, as if you didn't know. It's like, this girl is harboring a chip on her shoulder. Oh my god. Because as we know, you know, Hobson is gone. He did not appear in season 4, which is nice, because I really don't like him. I think he's a major fucking dick, and I don't care for how he treats women and objectifies them. Well, at least it sucks that Kevin broke up with her for Winnie. And, of course, Winnie broke up with Kevin for Roger, and then she broke up with Roger. Anyway, that's another story for another time. But at least in the future, I'd like to think that being that Becky has this chip on her shoulder about guys, that she's hopefully going to be very cautious with whoever she goes out with in the future. And the thing is, we don't see Becky after this. She is out of there. We don't see her come back for season 5 and 6. So my guess is maybe she goes to a different high school, or she just becomes one in the crowd and you just don't see her. But yeah, this is it. This is it for her. Farewell, Becky. May you do amazing, great things. It's just funny, this actress, Crystal McKellar, who's actually the sister of Danica, they're both up for the role of Winnie. And I guess I kind of wanted to go with a dark-haired person, so that's why they chose Winnie. But they kept Crystal on to be a love interest for Kevin in season 2. Because they're both really, really good. And it just... when she, like, gives this smoldering, angry, like, look at Kevin, it's almost like... part of me thinks she wants to, like, burst out laughing, or, like, it's right, that angry look is just on the edge of a smile coming right after it. It's like, like, maybe she's not normally like that, so it's hard to kind of muster that up. So he's like, what did I ever do to you? And she's like, as if I had to tell you. She walks away. Dick. Oh, here we go. Miss White! Mrs. Heimer, excuse me. Yes, she got married. And we don't see it yet, but you can kind of see peeking out. She has got a baby bump. She is ready to pop. She must have gotten knocked, because she said over the summer of second grade going into... I'm sorry, at the end of seventh grade... because this is ninth grade. And she said at the end of the summer, at the end of the school, the last school year, she said, I'm getting married. She must have gotten knocked up, like, just around the time the school year began, because she is, like, ready to give birth. Why isn't she on maternity leave? Well, it is the last day of school. So not only does Winnie get her own theme, Miss White slash Mrs. Heimer gets her own theme. Because they both hold a special heart in Kevin's. They both hold a special place in Kevin's heart. Guys, I am sorry if I'm blah, 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 all over the place today. I'm not sure why that is. It could be because I just woke up at 10 o'clock and I'm still trying to wake up a little bit. The sun is shining a little bit right now. I don't know if any of you guys have gotten snow over the last few days, but we have. And this is, I mean, it's not like piling on, but it is sticking a little. And it's like, today is the 14th, right? We got at least a week until spring hits. What is going on here? I want warm weather. You know how, I mean, I was always saying, like, okay, we got to get through February to get to March. It's going to be okay. March is going to be okay. A little snow, but it won't stick. Now it's like, oh, we got to get to April. Now it's like, oh, I got to get to April. Now it's like, seriously? But then again, think about it. What is April known for? Rain. Also known for thunderstorms. Also known for possible power outages, at least where I'm at. And also occasionally known for tornadoes, because the weather pattern is changing. It's sliding from winter into spring, and you got those conflicting cold and heat patterns. It's like, oh man. So I think we're not going to get any real, real enjoyable weather till I'd say late April, early May. And then we're going to jump right into hot and heavy weather in June. But okay, enough of the weather talk, guys. Let's get back to Mrs. Heimer and her baby bump.
On the other hand, maybe some things went beyond simple farewells. Things like, say...
Miss White!
Miss White. My old English teacher. My secret flame.
Mrs. Heimer, remember?
Oh, right.
Boy, what happened to her?
Well, one thing was clear. Whatever was happening, it wasn't always a pretty sight.
So when she turns and Kevin sees the baby bump, he is surprised. Well, she corrects him like, it's Mrs. Heimer, remember? Oh, her kid is going to have a baby. But he looks at her in surprise, like he's not seen her. I take it he doesn't have her for a teacher anymore. But he'd at least be seeing her around the school, wouldn't he? I mean, is she still a 7th grade English teacher? She's not an 8th grade English teacher? He's like, I mean, he's utterly shocked. Like, whoa, she got... What happened there? She got knocked up. And Kevin is like, oh, that's right. As he pastes a smile on his face. Like, he does not know what to do in that situation. So he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, you're pregnant? Yeah, that's great. So Paul comes up, walks up behind Kevin, and he just like, what happened to her? Guys, she's pregnant, okay? Do you not know what... Have you not ever seen a pregnant woman in your life before? Seriously? I mean, Jack must have had the sex talk with Kevin. Kevin, you know that's how babies are made, right? I mean, right? Alright, guys, we are moving to PE, our final day with Coach Cutlip. Okay, here's the thing. I am guessing that they must have gotten new shirts at the beginning of the term because they would have outgrown the ones that they got in 7th grade. There is no way those are the same shirts. Oh, and on the wall of the gymnasium, there is a graduation dance. Ooh la la. Just looking at them now compared to... 3 years prior when they are just tiny tots. Oh, look how tall they are. I'd say they, well, I mean, we didn't, I don't think we saw Randy and Doug in season one. Or even season two. Well, we might have. Wasn't the walkout was season two. So we saw Doug. We might have seen Randy then too. But where's Paul? I thought he was in this gym class. He's got to be in this gym class, isn't he? I mean, what about that episode with the wrestling dealy where the boys got in a fight? Although, wait, that was season, because each season is a new school year for Kevin, so that was 8th grade? Guys, I'm going to play Cutlip Speech, because this is just, it's the last time we're getting these teachers. They are, Collins is gone, he did pass away, we know this, he passed away in season 3. Miss White / Mrs. Heimer's gone, but then again, we haven't really seen her since season 2. Cutlip's gone. Diperna thinks the Lord is out of here. We don't have to look at his face. We don't got to hear his asshole-ish voice. He is gone. But I want to play Cutlip's speech because it's sad. And heartwarming. As heartwarming as Cutlip can be. So I'm going to play his clip. I'll be right back.
Men. I have good news. And I have bad news.
Ed Cutlip, the man, the educator, the cliche.
The good news is, after 3 years of long hours, back-breaking work, and total dedication on my part, you men are ready to move on. The bad news is, I won't be going with you. I'll be here, at the Northeast College of the Great Plains, Indianapolis campus, Indianapolis, Indiana. Post office box 248. Beginning in August, I'll be assuming the position of assistant athletic director. The big time, people. But before I go, I'd like to leave you with a thought. One to carry with you years from now when you look back and think of Coach Cutlip. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. Free at last.
We were witnessing the passing of an era.
Amen.
An era that led directly from physical education.
So basically, Cutlip is like, you know, you guys are going to be moving on. The bad news, I won't be going with you. I'll be here. And he said something about being a assistant. Oh, well, he said here, but he's like, well, he's going to be moving to Indianapolis in August to assume the assistant physical education director role there. I'm like, well, awesome. That's great. I'm sure they'll be glad to have you, Cutlip. That's awesome. I mean, bigger, better things, right? He's like, oh, the big time. People, these kids aren't enthused. They really don't care. To be honest, they don't. I mean, I'm sure in some way they're happy for you, but that's about as far as it goes. So this quote here, as he leaves them with a final memory of Coach Cutlip, free at last, free at last. Thank God we are free at last. I looked the quote up. I'm like, that sounds familiar. And I wanted to check before I said it. That's from Martin Luther King, Cutlip. Isn't that? Wouldn't that be considered racially insensitive nowadays? Like, what you're saying is, like, totally out of context. Because they're leaving and moving on from junior high to high school? That is, oh. I don't know. I honestly think that would be racially insensitive today. Especially today. I mean, I don't know if they were looking at that way back in 1971, but I mean, I'm sure, I don't know how that African-American boy feels about what he's saying, but I don't know, I'd be kind of irritated. Like, use a different quote. Now we're outside Winnie's house, as Kevin and Winnie are just kind of hanging out there. I'm trying to see, does she still have that broken leg? How much time has passed, do you think, since the accident episode? Okay, I did get a decent look. She still has that cast on. I'm like, yeah, it's only been, I don't know how much time has really passed, maybe a month or so, but she's still got that cast on. And she's just, you know, they're sitting there in the dark. And she's just like, what's going to happen to us, Kevin? He's like, us? And he's thinking, like, what, you and me? And she's like, well, all of us. Like, you know, going from junior high to high school. It's a big change in everything. Because, yeah, I mean, high school is pretty much, you have 4 years to decide, or at least have a decent idea of what you want to do with the rest of your life. And those 4 years, pretty much you're preparing to get the best grade you can to be able to get accepted into a college. Get a scholarship if you need to and get into college. Like, you've had time to play around. You've had 8 years or more to play around in elementary school and junior high. Now it's like you take the next 4 years of your life very seriously. I know I wish I kind of had, but I wish I'd had more opportunities given to me than what I had. I basically worked with what I had available to me. I mean, if I'd have been... I don't want to talk about regrets. And she just kind of worries, you know, you think we'll be alright? You think we'll be okay? And he's like, well, how do you mean? And she says, well, I just wonder if the good times are all gone. Like, well, yeah, now you're gonna really have to buckle down the next 4 years. And the thing is, so for junior high, she was in a different district. And so now she and Kevin and that are going to a different, they're going to a high school. So I'm guessing that allows her district to be, they're all going to go into one, or how, I wonder how that works. But then again, it's like, this whole thing with Winnie not being too much around for season four was basically for her to catch up in height, or no, I'm sorry, for Fred Savage to catch up in height to her. That's why they kind of separated them for a bit. It's like, we need to get them so he doesn't look like such a little kid to her when they stand next to each other, basically. You know, she just kind of thinks about, you know, things back on the junior high years as, like, if they meant anything at all. It's like, you know, in a way, you kind of semi-might get a little bit of a do-over. You know, you struggled a lot through junior high. You know, that's when your brother passed. Now, you can look towards the future and everything like that. And, you know, Kevin, she's just looking to Kevin for reassurance. And he just looks at her lovingly. It's like, yeah, she wants a reassurance from me. And he says, don't worry. It's going to be all right. We're going to be fine. He's like, it's going to be great. We're all going to be going to the same school. You, me, Paul. And he's looking at her her bare naked toes sticking out of her cast. It's like, I don't know what the expression on his face is. It's like, oh, her toes are so beautiful, just like her. I'm not sure what to gain from this. Like, every part of Winnie is beautiful in his eyes. Oh, shit. Here comes the bomb. She's going to drop the bomb. Like, oh, Paul hasn't told you. Ooh. You might want to, like, back off, Win, and let Paul, you know, deliver this news. It's not going to be good. I'm not going with you guys to high school. I'm going to prep school for the year. So I'm going to play this clip. I'll be right back.
To love. Platonically speaking.
Kevin, what do you think's gonna happen to us? Us?
Actually, I had more than a few thoughts on the matter.
All of us. Oh. I mean, next year, in high school. Do you think we'll be okay?
How do you mean?
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if the good times are really all gone. Whether they meant anything at all.
Good old Winnie. You had to love her. Those vulnerable doe eyes reaching out for my manly reassurance.
Of course we'll be okay. It's gonna be great. We're all gonna be going to the same school. Me, you, Paul.
God, that cast was driving me crazy.
Oh. Then, Paul hasn't told you.
Tell me what?
Never mind.
No, what is it? Has he got a girlfriend? He's getting contact lenses?
After all, the guy was my best buddy. There was nothing he didn't tell me.
Kevin, he's going away to school next year. Prep school.
What? Paul, tell me this isn't true.
Look, Kev, I wanted to tell you, but...
I don't believe this. Prep school? Paul, nobody goes to prep school.
Nobody who was my best friend, anyway.
Paul!
Let's not make a bigger deal out of this than it is.
Oh, yeah, what was this, your parents' idea? This was your idea?
Kev.
It's just a country day school. I'll be back in the afternoon.
Country day school? What are you gonna wear, little frilly dresses and parasols?
Okay, that was mean, I admit it. I meant it to be mean. I loved this guy.
Look, Paul, this is you and me we're talking about. Doesn't it mean anything to you?
Kev, it's not the end of the world.
So Kevin just looks at her like, wait, tell me what? And she's, oh, never mind. It's like, cat's out of the bag, Winnie. You may as well just tell him. And she's like, Paul's going to prep school next year. It's like, oh. Kevin's like, oh, does he have a girlfriend? Before she tells him that Paul's going to prep school, he's like, oh, does he have a girlfriend? Is he getting contact lenses? Well, he'd be right on the lesser. Yes, he does get contact lenses as in starting season 5. And he looks good. Let me tell you, Paul Pfeiffer without the glasses looks very, very good. I mean, he looks good with the glasses too, but oh, you can see those sparkling baby blue eyes. You know, Kevin kind of thinks to himself, it's like, Paul's my best bud. You know, there's nothing we don't tell each other. And she's like, nah, he's going to prep school. Well, the way she says it is like, he's going away to school next year. And then she adds prep school. Like, okay. Can you honestly, Kevin, really fault Paul for wanting a little more out of his education? And it's just for freshman year. I mean, that'd look great on a college application. And that's when the thunder strikes in Kevin's mind. He's like, that is like the end-all be-all of friendships. Like, no, no, not Paul. We're supposed to do high school together. I mean, we're supposed to be the Corey and Sean of the Wonder Years. Right? They're still riding the bus? What is this walking home from school stuff? So it's just like ride the bus when they want to ride the bus? But of course, Kevin decides to badger Paul about this whole prep school thing as they're getting on the bus. So Kevin's all irritated. He's like, prep school? Seriously? Nobody goes to prep school. It's like, yeah, some people do go. I don't know if they have. They might have some. Unless prep school is more like a private school. Or maybe not. But, oh, I love the little shirt that Kevin's wearing with the little alligator on it. Isn't there a proper name for that? There's also a shirt that has, like, the guy on the polo horse. I think my dad might have had one of those shirts when I was growing up. So Paul plops down in the very back seat, and Kevin plops down next to some kid in the seat in front of Paul. I feel bad for these other kids that got to sit through this argument between Kevin and Paul. It's like, can you guys go sit somewhere else? Like, where I don't have to be within hearing distance of your fight? So Paul is like, Kevin, you are making a bigger deal out of this than it needs to be. And Kevin fires back. It's like, so what? Was this your parents' idea? And Paul just kind of looks at him like, not exactly. It's like, wait, this was your idea? It's like, let him do this, Kevin. Why can't he make a decision about his life without having to have your input or your approval? I mean, I know you're best friends and all that's great, but you don't get to decide how someone lives their life. So Paul just tells him, like, Kev, it's just a country day school, okay? I'll be back in the afternoon. See, that's not so bad. That is not a big deal. Granted, now in season 5, we'll have to suffer through with a couple of Kevin's new weirdo buddies. But, Kevin, of course, is making this like, oh, are you gonna wear fancy frilly dresses and carry parasols? It's like, Kevin, shut up. Stop. I'm sure Paul probably took your friendship into consideration, but really, in the end, this is the best thing he could have done for himself. Gosh, guys, doesn't this fight and conversation remind you of another season finale of The Wonder Years? Season 2 finale, when he's like, you know, Paul's going away for the summer, Winnie's going away, and Kevin's like, what about me? What about my summer? Ah! Even here, he's like, what about our friendship? It's supposed to be you and me. I mean, doesn't that count? Doesn't that matter? Why do you always throw that in his face, Kevin? Seriously. Of course your friendship matters to him. But he has a right to be able to make decisions that are best for him and his interest. I mean, think about it. How many times did I tell you how many times I had to make a new best friend every single year? Third grade, my friend had moved away over the summer, made another friend. She left in fourth grade, had to make a friend for fifth grade. I moved on to junior high. My friend stayed in elementary school, had to make a friend for sixth grade. My friend, you know, that I made in sixth grade, Barbara, who I'm still good friends with. She left at the end of sixth grade. I had to make, I don't really think I had a good friend for seventh grade. I mean, Barbara didn't come back until we were freshmen in high school, so I ended up making a kind of friend that kind of sought me out, which was nice, for 7th grade. And then 8th grade, I kind of broke off and made a friend who later continued the friendship in freshman year. And that's when Barbara came back. And then the three of us were friends. And then, of course, my other friend's cousin was a freshman when I was a sophomore. And he and I became really good friends. So, but anyway, you know, with that time that Barbara was gone, yeah, it sucked. I mean, it's not like she moved out of the state or anything, but she was still in another town. She went to a different school. So we stayed friends just by writing letters, talking on the phone. Well, this is back in the mid-90s when calling long distance was expensive, so I kind of had to limit the time that I was on the phone. Yeah. But, alright, guess what? We are getting a last appearance by Ben Stein, excuse me, as Mr. Cantwell. And his episodes are always tied into the plot of what's going on in the episode, and that is really cool. So I'm going to play this clip. I'll be right back.
Armageddon, the final frontier, the splitting of atoms, the tearing apart of nature's closest bond. Let's take a look.
Okay, I was mad. I felt lost. My best friend had betrayed me. So, of course, there was really only one thing to say.
So, got your polo outfit all picked out?
What?
Maybe you should start smoking a pipe. That'd be pretty stupid.
Yep. Thought I'd be real adult about this.
And you'll need some new underwear. I hear all those guys wear pink.
Please. I need your complete attention.
But I didn't care. I was on a roll.
One word of advice, prep man.
Kev, I don't have to take this.
Whatever you do, never, ever let him see you eat spaghetti.
Okay. I've had enough.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to do about it?
Gentlemen, please, control yourselves.
But suddenly I knew what I had to do. The lasting thing. The caring thing.
Oh, golly.
And with that... grade ended with a bang.
So Kevin and Paul are sitting in science class, and Kevin just right away starts ragging on Paul for this prep school decision. He's like, oh, are you going to start, did you get your polo outfit? Or, oh, maybe you should start smoking a pipe. That would be really stupid. It's like, Kevin, what the hell? I know you're pissed, but this is not the way to have a great send-off with your friend here. And then he's like, oh, I hear, you might want some new underwear because I hear all the guys there wear pink. What the hell type of school do you think he goes to, Kevin? You're being very emasculating right now. So, Mr. Cantwell's like, please, boys, I need your complete attention. Kevin doesn't give a crap. Wow, Ben Stein even trying to be angry is monotone. That's just really funny. So Kevin's like, one word of advice, prep man. And Paul has had enough. He's like, Kev, I don't have to take this. And he's like, and I'm like, yeah, Paul, you don't. Like, Kevin, shut up. In a minute, you're going to be minus one best friend. Because he's going to say, you know, just forget. Fuck you and forget you. But Kevin just keeps going. He's like, never, ever, whatever you do, don't let them see you eat spaghetti. What's wrong with him eating spaghetti? So the classroom laughs. What, have they seen Paul eat spaghetti? I don't get it. But it's not like a ha 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 laugh. It's more like a nervous laugh. Like, oh boy, what's going to happen now? And with that, Paul stands up, and he is so much taller than Kevin. He's like, that's it, I've had enough, as he stands up. And Kevin stands up with him, he's like, what are you going to do, hit me? And Mr. Cantwell is up there, he's like pouring some liquid into one of the other glass bottles, gosh, I don't know chemistry. And he's like trying to watch what he's doing, and, you know, tell these boys to knock it off. And Kevin is like, I knew what I had to do. The lasting thing. The caring thing. He fucking punches Paul in the goddamn face. Are you kidding me? Why would you punch him? What, because you're angry? Because you're not going to go to the same damn school for a year? It's a year, Kevin. He'll be back for sophomore year. It'll be fine. You don't show how you love someone by punching them in the fucking face. And now Cantwell is so damn distracted watching this shit go down that he's poured more liquid than he needs to. And the thing is like going off like crazy. It's bubbling up. And it's like, oh shit. Look what you did, Kevin. You caused an explosion. He caused an explosion out of that room. There's smoke coming out of there. Well, hey, they get out of school for a few minutes. How about that? On the last day of school. Ninth grade ended with a bang. It surely did. Those kids are going to be sick. Those fumes are pouring out of that room. I mean, what chemicals did he mix together? So kids are pouring out into the hall and they're standing there. It's like, get out of the school. Don't breathe in that stuff. All right, so now we're moving to the... Basically, Kevin's shooting hoops in his suit, which I wouldn't recommend that because you're probably going to get it all dirty. So Kevin's just kind of standing there shooting hoops, and he's like, basketball hoop is nice, it doesn't go anywhere, doesn't go to prep school, it's just pretty solid and familiar. And of course, the damn net popped off the rim. And the net itself just completely falls off. Like, son of a bitch. Well, that thing just gave up and took a crap. I'm sure Kevin's like, Dad, we need a new basketball hoop. Or maybe you can reattach this one. So I'm going to play the clip as the doorbell rings and Kevin looks outside and it's Paul. Aw, poor guy. You probably gave him a black eye. He's got to give a commencement speech today at the graduation. Poor guy. Aw, he's got this sad hangdog look on his face. I feel bad for him. All right, I'll be right back.
graduation day. I thought I'd get in a little practice on my jump shot. I didn't feel like graduating. I felt more like shooting hoops. At least with the basketball hoop, you knew where you stood. It didn't move around or go to prep school. Nope, a hoop stayed put.
So Paul's at the door, and Kevin's surprised to see him there, like, Paul, what are you doing here? And that's when Paul thrusts a little graduation gift at Kevin and says, here, it's an underwater watch. I hope you drowned with it. Like, wow, this 1971 and they had underwater watches? I wonder how much that must have cost. I'm sure it wasn't cheap. Quinn decided to make an appearance. She crawled out from under the bed. So with that, Paul just, like, tosses the watch at him and just, like, takes off. And Kevin, pretty much, he's not looking forward to graduation. He decides to take a walk and clear his head. And the song, I Think It's Gonna Rain Today, I think that's what it's called, is playing. It's really pretty. I just remember the song from the movie Beaches, sung by Bette Midler. And Kevin's just walking past, like, a playground or a schoolyard, and he happens upon three kids, a girl and two boys, just playing on this playground equipment, and he just kind of thinks about, you know, how life just seems like it's passing by, how things seem so much simpler when you're younger, that friendship is so easy. So while Kevin is watching the kids play, we get a cute little film strip, home movie, of Kevin, Paul, and Winnie playing on the same playground equipment. Aww, it's so cute. Just days gone by. And Kevin just looks and says, you know, those days were gone. And things were never going to be the same. So that's when Kevin, you know, he's just staring at the kids. All of a sudden, someone calls out his name. And Kevin turns and he sees Mrs. White. He's like, Miss, and then he corrects himself right away and says, Mrs. Heimer. And she's like, you look troubled. Do you want a ride? Or do you need a lift? And now I kind of wonder, Kevin's parents must know that he went for a walk, right? Because, and what time does he have to be at this graduation? Like, not until evening time? Because this looks like the middle of the afternoon. So she kind of parks off to the side of the road and they just kind of talk for a bit. So Kevin just kind of looks at her and just think, you know, back in the day in seventh grade, how much he was in love with Miss White. But now, you know, he's finishing ninth grade and he just feels, you know, that was so long ago. And, you know, she just, you know, tries to get him to open up and just talk about, you know, what's going on and everything. She just, the area that she parked in, she says, I kind of come out here to think. So I'm not sure where exactly they are. They look like they're just off on a side road somewhere. But I'm going to play the clip and I'll be right back.
Kevin? Kevin?
Mrs. Heimer.
Maybe it was coincidence. Maybe it was fate. In any event,
you seem troubled. Can I give you a lift?
I took the ride.
It's pretty here, isn't it? I often come here to think.
The funny thing is, there was a time when I'd given my right foot to be with this woman who used to teach me English. But that was once upon a time. In seventh grade.
So how are things? Okay. I see.
I graduate tonight, you know.
I know.
But that's pretty much it.
Is there anything else?
Of course, I wanted to tell her. More than anything, I wanted to tell her about Paul and Winnie. About my family. About how my years with them meant more to me than life. About how, no matter how long I lived, I would always, always treasure these precious days.
Yeah. It's just, I don't think I'm ready for all this, you know?
But I guess change can't be stopped, no matter how you might wish otherwise. Anyway, that's when it happened.
Kevin. I think we better go.
Go where?
To the hospital. You'll have to drive.
Me? What? Well, I don't know how to drive. Oh my gosh! Help! 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 Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Members of the class of 1971.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Tonight, we meet to celebrate a very significant occasion.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
Time to face new challenges.
Be right back. Help!
A time for looking forward. A time for looking back.
That June day of 1971, I faced the truth about myself, about my times. The world I knew had changed. And now? There was no turning back. Suffice it to say that that afternoon, I embraced the future. I became a dad. Well, kinda. And that night...
So, you know, she asked, like, is there anything troubling you? And he's like, well, I graduate tonight. And it's like, that's pretty much it, though. And she's like, well, is there anything else? And it's like, really that, you know, she's opening the channels of communication. It's like, Kevin, you may as well unload on her, you know, what's going on with you. And just, I mean, someone's going to listen. It's going to be Mrs. Heimer. I mean, she's always listened when and been there when you had a problem. Guys, this is the type of teachers, the ones that'll be there for you, that it's more than just a paycheck for them. It's that they want to see their students succeed in the world and be the best people possible. Those are the teachers that just make a difference, and they stay in your heart forever. And I have a few of those that have been there for me when I needed them. And I definitely did need them growing up. You know, even my, one of my teachers, was a teacher's aide that I met in first grade. And then, you know, she had kind of been with me throughout school. I mean, I saw her again when I was in fourth or fifth grade, and then when I got to high school, she was there, and just, this woman just helped me so, so much, and I still send her a Christmas card every year. She sends me one, and it's just, you know, I have a teacher that helped me with my wedding, you know, when it came to flowers and stuff. When I got my driver's license, my teacher would take me out to lunch, and it's just, there are teachers there just, they're so amazing, and they just mean so much to you, and they help you and guide you, and they go above and beyond what a teacher really, more than just the curriculum. I love this, guys, and you, I believe you do hear it in the clip that he said, you know, he wanted to tell her about Paul and Winnie and his family and how they meant more to him than life. Guys, this is so beautiful. I love this. Just what Kevin's just kind of ruminating in his mind. It's amazing. And just him saying how, you know, no matter how long he lived, that he would always, always treasure these days. And yes, that's just, some people, you know, they treasure what their youth was as they get older and they face new challenges and make new memories and everything. It's like, sometimes you long for the simpler days when things weren't so hard, when you didn't got to worry about making sure you get enough money to make sure your lights stay on, there's food on the table, there's clothes on your back, there's gas in your car, you know, your kids are fed and well taken care of. When really all you had to do is just be a kid and just go out and have fun. You know, the kids, they just want to grow up so fast, and it's like, no, stop. Enjoy life. Enjoy this moment, because you won't ever get it back. And that's the thing, if you think about it, about nostalgia. With all these television reboots coming up, it's giving us a chance to, like, look back with these characters on these shows that we grew up with as children, and to see them as adults, and now that we're adults, and just see how far these characters have come. It's just, I think with everything just changing all the time, and maybe the TV shows aren't so great as well as they used to be, it's like giving us a piece of our childhood, of something that we can look back on fondly, and just say, this show was with me through the good times and bad of my life. I look to this show for advice, for reflection, for relatability through the characters. And Wonder Years does this in so many ways. Whether you're relating to Kevin or Paul or Winnie or even Jack, Norma, you know, Karen and Wayne. It's just, the show, I can't even begin to explain and describe how much the show means to me. Or that with Punky Brewster, how much that show meant to me. Guys, I wanted to do this podcast because I love these shows. And I know I rag on Kevin a bit. You know, I call him like, eh, you're kind of a dick sometimes. And he kind of is. But he's also, he's got a sweetness to him too. He's got a good heart. Just his emotions and words get the better of him sometimes. And Kevin kind of looks at Mrs. Heimer and just says, you know, I don't think I'm ready for all this. It's a big step. it is a very big step going from junior high to high school. And there are going to be a lot more challenges and a lot of things are going to be coming your way. You know, getting driver's licenses, eventually the SATs, what Wayne's going through right now. Kevin is going to have to face that. And it sucks. It sucks that the world wants you to become an adult so fast. And even now today, kids really, I can't even imagine the type of schoolwork they have to do. The qualifications to graduate now compared to what they were when I graduated, like community service and stuff like that. And it's just like, wow. It's just, things have changed since Kevin went to school, since I went to school. I graduated in 2001, and that was like 17 years ago, as of this June. So I understand where Kevin's coming from. The feeling that these changes are coming and you can't stop them. So basically Kevin's like, yeah, and thinking to himself, change can't be stopped no matter what happens. And oh boy, that's when it happened. Mrs. Heimer goes into labor, her water breaks. No! Oh, Kevin! Well, as one life is coming to a crossroads, a new life is beginning. And Mrs. Heimer's like, we need to go. We need to go. And Kevin's like, what? Wait, what? She's like, we need to go to the hospital. Like, crap! Oh! She's like, Kevin, you're gonna have to drive me to the hospital. He's like, I can't! I don't know how to drive! Well, you know what, Kevin? Today's your lucky day, because you are gonna get some driver's training practice, buddy! And it's a stick! It's a stick shift. Oh, crap. Like, she's going to have to show him. Because they're going to have to switch seats. They're on this desolate street. There hasn't been a car for ages. And, well, I can see why she likes the view. Because you get, this is like up on a hill. And you get a straight, nice shot of just plain old suburbia. You know, with the streets and everything. And Kevin is freaked when she says she needs him to drive her to the hospital. He starts screaming, help! Kevin, no one's gonna hear you, okay? Nobody is around. You parked in some desolate dirt road. So finally he does get out of the passenger seat car, races over to the driver's side, helps her out, gets her in the passenger seat, and jumps in the driver's seat. Now, while all this is going on, we have Diperna up there. Graduation is pretty much taking place. It's like, Kevin, your last name is Arnold. You are at the top of the list. Oh, my God. I hope Paul's speech is very, very long. How far away is this hospital? In accordance to where the school is located, I wonder. So, while Kevin is stumbling along driving this VW bug, he manages to make it to the hospital, which is great because, she's about ready to give birth right in that car. And, of course, like I said, with all this going on, Diperna is giving his opening speech for the graduation. Kevin parks a little ways away from the admittance area. He probably could have, like, parked it a little ways up near the entrance area, even though it's probably supposed to be for, like, the ambulances and everything. But luckily, Kevin, he gets out of the car, and he is able to flag someone down who's pushing somebody in a wheelchair. So Kevin's just sitting there with the expectant father, because I guess even back in 1971, I guess the fathers couldn't be present, I'm guessing, or they're just waiting for the wives to give birth. So Kevin's stuck there sitting between two chain smokers. And I'm thinking, he technically could have left to go to his graduation. One guy looks like he's in his late 20s, early 30s on one side of Kevin. And the other guy looks like he's in his 50s. Like, whoa! Who did you? That's a little late in the game to be having a kid. So, yeah, they're blowing smoke in his face. It's like Kevin's, like, waving it away. It's like, I don't want to get emphysema. Was the Surgeon General warning on cigarette packages yet? I don't know if it was. So, the nurse comes out, points to Kevin, and kind of inches him forward like you. All right, come here. Where is her husband? Why wasn't he called? She could have given Kevin the number to call the husband to get his ass down there. I mean, Kevin's not even a relation. So the nurse takes the baby from Mrs. Heimer and places the baby in Kevin's arms. So Kevin just says, you know, with that, I embraced the future and became a dad. Well, kind of. Yeah, kind of. She looks, Mrs. Heimer, she looks good for having just went through labor. It must have been quick. Because she is not sweaty and gross. She doesn't look that exhausted. And she's just pleased with Kevin holding her kid. Like, okay. They got a close bond. What can I say? And it's nice that Kevin, I guess, got to be a part of the birth. Wow, is he like the second person called up there? I'm gonna play this clip. This is hilarious. That's Deverna calls Kevin's name up there. And everyone, you know, Norma, Jack, and Wayne are clapping. And Wayne's like, yeah, butthead! And Wayne, and Norma and Jack just look at Wayne like, what? Oh, that's so funny. I'm going to play the clip, though. I'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the class of 1971.
I graduated from junior high school.
Kevin Arnold.
Yeah! Woo! Butthead!
Not that I did it alone.
Clarence Barbella.
I did it among people who had filled my life.
Douglas Porter. Rebecca Slater.
And in their own way, had made it richer.
The future rushes at us, and we in turn stand ready, armed with our hopes, our dreams, and our memories.
I did it among people I loved.
Therefore, as we stand here, at the end of one journey, at the beginning of another, let us make a bond to never forget our times at RFK Junior High, and to never forget friends that we made here.
He calls up Clarence Barbella. You know, the guy's like, hey, do I got one this year? I got a diploma. I think DiPerna just graduated his to get his ass out of there. And this guy shows up in ruffles, in a baby blue ruffle suit. Like, he just came back from prom. Like, just get him the fuck out. I don't want to deal with your ass no more. Alright, so we're getting Randy Mitchell out of there, which I believe we do see him for season 5 and 6. Doug Porter, Becky Slater. So yeah, Becky and Doug are out. It was nice seeing you guys. Oh, look at, we got the band here, people that are playing the music. Wait, what are those? No, is that it? Alright, anyway, Paul is going to give his farewell speech. Commencement speech, whatever you want to call it. Graduation speech. So, as Paul is delivering his speech, it's going on, you know, you see Kevin, you see Norma, Jack, and Wayne, you see Debbie and Mrs. Pfeiffer. I gotta rewind this for a second. You don't see Alvin. You don't see Paul's father. Did he have to work or something? He couldn't be there for his son's speech. Unless maybe they just couldn't get the actor back that day, or maybe he might be on the other side of the wife and you don't see him. I don't know. It's got to be maybe something with the actor just could not get back that day. But Alvin will be in season 5. And it also goes to, you know, you see Randy and Doug just kind of contemplating and kind of thinking about the meaning behind, well, as much as they can about Paul's speech. We see Becky Slater kind of sitting there by herself, also paying close attention. I love how Paul says to never forget our times at RFK Junior High. And Kevin just kind of looks at Paul. It's just like, I think everything's cool between them. I think everything is mended, hopefully. And I think Paul smiles at Kevin, like, you know, we're cool, man. We're cool. I love this soundtrack to the show. Not just the singers, the music, but the instrumental. Like, just the feeling and the emotions behind this music is just amazing. Everyone gives Paul a standing ovation. They all stand up and they applaud. It's like, yes, you are the man, Paul Pfeiffer. That was an amazing speech. He said all the right things and everyone got, he gave them the feels. They got the feels from that speech. And things indeed are awesome between Kevin and Paul. They're popping back the football on the sidewalk. Kevin comes back on and he's like, you know, I don't know really what I did that summer. Passing kind of a blur. And who's coming up the sidewalk? Winnie! Ah! Winnie! She doesn't have her cast on anymore! I don't... Well, she's got a shoe on that foot. So, her cast is off. And she even, like, lifts her foot up. Like... Oh! She, like... Cast is off, guys! It's off! So, Kevin... You know, Winnie comes up to them. And Kevin and Paul, they're all gonna start chatting. Wayne comes out, hey, like, hey, Butthead, dinner's ready. Well, let him just chill with his friends for a sec. He'll be in a minute. Damn, Wayne, way to be a spoil sport. So Paul's like, hey, next year we get our driver's licenses, huh? It's like, oh yeah, open road. Getting behind the wheel. So I'm going to play that ending clip, and I'll be right back.
I couldn't really say what I did that summer. It passed in kind of a blur.
Hi!
What I remember are green lawns and sprinklers, and the smell of backyard grills, and the nearness of friends.
Hey! Butthead! Dinner's ready.
In a minute!
There was time. Ahead lay new places, other days. But for now...
So, next year we get our driver's licenses, huh?
Yeah.
I never wanted it to end.
Guys, that's a wrap on season 4 for now, and as far as my rating, I'm going to give it, let's give it a 4 out of 5. My favorite, basically it's going to be my favorite moments of the episode. That's how I want to do it. That's how I've been kind of trying to do it. So, my 4 favorite moments were, hold on a second. Kevin reassuring Winnie about entering high school. I liked the moment with Mrs. Heimer and Kevin, you know, talking in the car. And then, of course, him going to the hospital, holding her baby. And also Paul's speech, with, you know, and Kevin and everything, and the family cheering for him. And then last, of course, at the very end, everything's cool between Kevin and Paul. When he comes up, cast is off. She throws her leg up, like, yeah, cast is off. And just Paul saying, hey, next year we get our driver's licenses. And the one thing I had to take off was when Kevin punched Paul in the mouth. I thought that was really undeserved. That was not cool on his part. As far as Wonderling Words of Wisdom, I'm going to go with just treasure your childhood. Treasure as much as your memories, just everything. Make the most out of your childhood if you can. Because once you get to high school, it's going to be 4 years of prepping basically for what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Getting into a good college, graduating from college, getting a job, eventually possibly getting married, having children. So cherish those years, guys. Cherish your childhood years if you can. Just definitely do that. If you're new just listening to this podcast, I do have a Facebook page for Looking Back at My Wonder Years, the podcast. Also, there is one for Instagram, LBOM, Wonder Years Podcast. And also, I have an email, Gmail account if you want to email me, LBOM, Wonder Years Podcast at gmail.com. So basically what's going to go on from here, April I'm going to start season 5. For the last 2 weeks of March, I think I'm just kind of going to do like a throwback episode to like season 2. I know I have the sports edition and the other episodes that I haven't gone through. So I think I'm just going to surprise you guys with the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to tell you what the episode is. I'm just going to throw it out there. And if you guys haven't yet, if you could, I would love it if you guys would go to iTunes and give me a 5-star review. Let me know how much you enjoy the show. But this weekend, also look to a new episode of Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere. We're doing season 2, episode 15, entitled Rivals. That's the last Marcia episode. And then in April, we're going to be doing 2 George Owens featured episodes. So if you guys love The Wonder Years, check out the Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere podcast. All the episodes are on this Wonder Years podcast now. So, all right, let's give a warm welcome to some new and regular Wonderling listeners. We got, and I'm going to tell you right now, if I butcher these names, I am very sorry. Lethbridge, Canada. East Providence, Rhode Island. St. Petersburg, Florida. Mountain View, California. Centerville, Maryland. Munich, Germany. Anaheim, California. Atlanta, Georgia. Etobicoke, Chatham, New Jersey, Mississauga, Canada, London, United Kingdom, if I can't pronounce it, I'll just say the country, Indonesia, Blackwood, New Jersey, Fairmont, West Virginia, India, Paris, France, Delhi, India, Wuppertal, Germany, Broad Beach, Australia, Philippines, or Ontario, Canada, Westlake Village. I'm sorry, that's Ontario, California, guys. Westlake Village, California, Dallas, Texas, Brooklyn, New York, Baldwin Park, California, Bellingham, Massachusetts, Hollywood, Florida, India, Bronx, New York, Oakland, California, and Santa Clara, California. All right, everyone, I will be back next week with a surprise flashback Wonder Years episode from the past. Have a great rest of the week, and I'll also be back this week with a new Mr. Belvedere, Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere podcast episode. Bye-bye.